KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. My name is Keith Brown Eel. Today, host Melvin Merritt talks with Audrey McLeod of Family Transportation Services. They provide transportation for family visits to incarcerated loved ones in both Kansas and Missouri. Later in the show, we have the 420 drug war news and our calendar of events. And now to Audrey and Melvin.
Good morning. Welcome to a live edition of Jaws of Justice right here on KKFI 90.1 on your dial. I'm your host, Melvin Merritt, and in the studio with me this morning is Miss Audra McLeod. She is the founder and owner of Family United Transportation Service, and I'd like to take this time and welcome Miss McLeod. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, and good morning, family out there listening to KKFI.
Great. I'm glad you're here. One of the first questions I'm going to ask you is, tell us when did you start Family United Transportation Service, and what made you get involved into this organization?
Well, it started in about 2011. I have a brother who's incarcerated, and he's serving a substantial amount of time. And I started doing the research out there, and I found that in Kansas City, Missouri, there were no transportation providers that I knew of outside of some of the local churches. And I also have an uncle. He's been in there for about 20, 25 years or so, and he's in Hutchinson, Kansas. And so and then also just having family members in a previous experience with myself in 1993. And thinking back and saying, you know what, these folks need some support. How can I provide a great service that will get the family members to visit? And yes, we have some family members that visit, and we have others out there who do not have the opportunity to go visit because they do not have transportation.
So you alluded to the fact that you had some experience, personal experiences in that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, indeed. In 1993, I experienced some trouble myself, and I was gone for about six months to 14 months. And the one thing I said to myself, God places us in, he places us in certain situations to see if you're going to be strong enough for him to have you survive. He has a plan for everyone. And so the plan for me was to come out stronger than before. And I decided, you know what, we have to do something about this, Audra. And I started attending school, getting my life back together, working. And now with this transportation service, I'm hoping to do the same for other families to help them with their loved ones when they come home.
You mentioned that you went back to school. Tell us a little bit about your academics background.
Well, recently, I'm so excited about this because I attended Webster University, the Kansas City campus, and I received my undergrad in management. And then also on May 22nd, I just graduated with my Master of Arts in Marketing. So I'm very excited about that. And I was so excited about attending Webster. It's a great school. The staff, the faculty, and the students, really great.
You know, I was so amazed that when I walked into the studio and I saw you, and we know each other, and plus I know your mother,
yes,
Bev McLeod, and so I know I sound formal with her because her and I go way back, and so I just want, in case she's listening, I want to say hello, Bev, and let's go ahead on, and I want to ask you some questions about, give us a little bit of stats on statistics of the people that are incarcerated. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, we have, there's, for the United States, we have 2.2 million people incarcerated, number one. And Missouri houses the largest number of prisons. We currently have 22 prisons in the state of Missouri alone. And so we're looking at one in every 15 black males in the United States is incarcerated. We have one in every 105 white males incarcerated, mm-hmm. and one in every 35 Hispanics incarcerated. So we have a lot of people incarcerated in the United States as opposed to any other country.
Mm. So you, I was looking at your paperwork, and it used one of those $10,000 words, recidivism.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about that word, and you were talking about your success with this.
Well, recidivism is basically reoffending. How do we keep those folks from reoffending mm-hmm. when they come home? Mm-hmm. And to me, it means help, support, creating jobs. How do you keep those persons from not going back to prison? And I believe that if we can get the support that they need inside of the prison and prepare them for when they come home, then we'll have a lower rate of recidivism.
That's great. Now, you mentioned about in your bio about the children, and how does that affect the children of parents that are incarcerated?
Well, to the children, mom and dad, we are their heroes. So it doesn't matter if you're in trouble or not. To children 5 to 17, fathers, mothers, we are the heroes, and there are over 2 million children that are left behind because their parents are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so they've been affected mentally. And if they are able to go visit, that's going to be important to them as well.
I noticed that you provide a lot of services to these families. And I noticed on there, what do you do about doctor's appointments and stuff like that?
Well, the doctor's appointment, that is part of our exclusive transportation. Our primary focus is the families that have loved ones incarcerated, but we also offer exclusive transportation to senior citizens and others in a 9-county radius within the state of Missouri and Kansas to get back and forth for doctor's appointments, grocery shopping, basically anything that's a personal need and you just can't get there. We provide that transportation.
Because I noticed that you talked about depression and things like that, and that causes people to be depressed when they can't get to a family member that is incarcerated. So you alleviate a lot of that stress and by your services. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, yes. When we're talking about stress, period, and you have a need for transportation and you can't get around and you can't get to the closest bus stop, you can't get back and forth to work or even going to church or your doctor's appointment, that causes a substantial amount of stress, just not being able to get to the places that you need to be at. And then as far as the prison visits, it helps them, the inmate themselves, build up self-esteem, the love, the support that they need for when they come home. It helps them build awareness why they're incarcerated. Taking the families to visit, it's a fantastic opportunity for the families to connect themselves and form a support group. So when they're going down there to visit, they have other resources and other information to give to their loved ones while they're in there.
So we don't pass up this opportunity. And I know that someone is out there listening and maybe even having a family member that's about ready to go into the prison system. And they might be interested in your services. Could you give us your number, your telephone number, and some of your information of how they can get in contact with you?
And you all can get in contact with me by calling 816-533-5622 or sending me an email at family, the letters U for United, T for transportation, S for service at gmail.com. And you can also visit our website at www.familyunitedtransportation.com and follow us on Facebook at Family United Transportation Service. And we have some great inspirational quotes on there daily.
So let's say for instance that a person has entered the prison system. What about their basic need? How did do you furnish any of those types of basic needs, or do you assist the parents or the individuals that have loved ones that's incarcerated? Do you assist them in getting their basic needs?
Well, that is something that we're working on right now, Mr. Melvin. We're working on getting that basic support for them. Mm-hmm. We can't necessarily take any items into the prison unless we have that communication with prisons. Most of it, you have to send money into them, and they're able to purchase their own items.
Because we mentioned before coming into the studio that we mentioned about, you know, what takes place in the penitentiary when an individual is do not have the mm-hmm. basic needs, and this is when people are they become victims.
Exactly.
And so, you know, do you know anything about that that you can shed some light on?
Well, I do know that if, yes, and they do become victims, and if, because what it is, if they don't have enough money mm-hmm. to purchase their commissary, mm-hmm. then you're out borrowing from someone else, and that dollar on that amount is much higher than what you're going to receive when your family sends that money in. Mm. And so, yes, they are becoming victims to others. But what we're going to be working on something to help support something like that with the Family Connection that's going to launch here in July.
Tell us a little bit about your exclusive new services that you're about ready to embark on.
Okay. Well, first of all, Family Connection, it is it's a support group to help families to understand that, yes, they are you have loved ones that are incarcerated, but how are you going to take charge of your own life to support them while they're in there? So basically sustaining your household to help them when they prepare them when your loved one gets ready to come home. And so we're going to be working on education, credit repair, looking for jobs to prepare the person on the outside mm-hmm. for the offender when they come home.
So do you connect with other agencies in order to, you know, to introduce them to some other services besides your own services?
Yes, we have a connection with Miss Bev Livingston. She's mm-hmm. with Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters.
I'm very familiar with her.
You are? She's an awesome lady.
She's a nice lady.
We also have Beyond the Conviction, Patrick Downey. We have the Second Chance Crime Commission that we're working with. And then we also have Ms. Barbara Conley. She's with Children of Incarcerated Parents. Mm. And all of these folks I'm looking to partner with so that we can come up with a great plan to help those who are incarcerated and as well as their families.
So it would be a great thing for a person to get your information and make contact with you, you know, and get some of the information that they may need. And then you can pass on some information that you don't punish the service to.
Absolutely.
So it benefits them to get your number and your information.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about your organization and tell us a little bit about some things in terms of your success and, you know, and the things that you're doing at this time.
Okay. Well, our mission is keeping families connected, and the whole thing was inspired by family members. And if you have one of my business cards and on the back of it says, "We know, we understand, we care, and we are here from you. We are here for you." And that is honestly true. We do know. And the vision is to have community participation and an additional family support. And the whole goal is for us to be a part of the rehabilitation process for the individual that's incarcerated, their families, and those children that are left behind. And if we could save, I know it's the statistics say one family. If we can save up to three families out of 10, then we're doing a fantastic job.
Very successful if you can do that.
Yes.
You know, because usually, like what you said, is that generally the cliche is that, you know, if we can reach one and be successful with that one, you have been successful. But you're
yes.
talking about reaching three.
I would love to reach three.
That's great. Now, what about helping or assisting the parents in terms, or I don't know why I'm saying parents, but it could be anyone.
Yes.
And with, you know, like what you said about housing and other information that they may be in need of in terms of information. How do you go about, you know, making sure that they receive this type of information? What do you do?
Well, I have several brochures that are out there brochures and flyers. But what I would like to do is reach out to the families personally mm-hmm. for them to give me a call. And so that way I can be able to assist them with some of the resources that are out there in the community. Mm-hmm. There are several resources that we, not even the families that are incarcerated, but we in the community don't know about.
Mm, that's great. Remember that you're in tune to KKFI 90.1. I'm your host, Melvin Merritt, right here on Jaws of Justice. And in the studio with me is Miss Audra McLeod. And we're talking about her organization, which is the
Family United Transportation Service. Again, our phone number is 816-533-5622.
Okay, that's great. Now tell me some of the one of my first questions I wanted to ask too is, do you connect with the court system?
We are working with the Criminal Justice Task Force right now, trying to they actually provide services for individuals who's been incarcerated mm-hmm. 15 years or more. Mm. And so we're trying to get a process that we can work with them as well as the federal courts to get these families some visits.
That's good. That's great. And you have on your read handouts is that you go to various penitentiaries. Give us a little bit about that.
Yes, we serve the entire state of Missouri and Kansas. So we can go as far out as Charleston, Missouri, which is about 6 hours away. In fact, we had 10 routes scheduled for this month. And the only requirement that we ask is that we have at least 5 adult passengers traveling with us to make a trip, because that's important.
So why is that? You know, so
why is uh-huh. because when you're traveling, some of these routes are just, they're so far away. We're looking at about 2 hours over 50 miles. And so it becomes more economical for the family if we have 5 or more. And then you can form that support group as well.
I see. Mm-hmm. So that way that you're not just making a trip for just one family.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
That makes it worthwhile.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I understand that. Tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the worst experiences that you have had with traveling.
When you say well, you know, we haven't had any bad experience, but we did experience some bad weather coming back from Jefferson City, and we got home at about 10:30, 11. It was an ice storm coming home. Mm. Going there, the weather was fine. Ice storm coming home. And then also when we went to on March 9th, we went to Licking, Missouri, which is about 4.5 hours away. Mm. And it was raining heavily, and we had to take a lady back to St. Joseph. So we picked up the people here in Kansas City and picked her up in St. Joe and had to take her back home. And it was heavy fog. We got home about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, now, do you have an office space or anything like that?
Right now, we are a home-based transportation company. We are working on an office. So if there's some office space out there, please give me a call, somebody.
And that number?
That number is 816-533-5622.
That's great. I think your organization is just awesome, and I believe that, you know, it is filling a great need out there, especially because of the statistics that you mentioned about 2.2 million people that are incarcerated, right? Is that right here in Missouri alone?
That is in the United States.
In the United States. And I noticed that you mentioned something about that we have one of the largest, housing?
We house the largest number of prisons. We have 22 prisons in the state of Missouri.
Mm. And so is there a reason, a lot of the reasons for a lot of these guys or a lot of the women that are incarcerated? Do you look into statistics, you know, like that?
Well, what I've been doing is I've been working on some of the statistics. Like right now we have the crime rate here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And so that's driving the numbers up, as well as the prison system is $1 billion mm-hmm. business as well. And so some of these prisons are built just for incarcerating.
Housing.
Yeah, housing.
Because of the crime rate has gone up tremendously in Kansas City.
Yes.
And that's a sad commentary.
And you have to take into consideration there are those who are incarcerated who are wrongly convicted as well. They're incarcerated with the actual folks who are committing crimes.
Yeah, I had a guest on the radio a couple of a month or so back, and mm-hmm. he was incarcerated for 16 years, okay. and he's fighting to be released. And so the facts has been proven that this individual is innocent, mm-hmm. and but he can't get his case back into court. Because of some of the guidelines of the law and those types of things. So he's caught between a rock and a hard place, and especially when he's incarcerated trying to fight his case from behind bars, and it's pretty tough.
It is.
It's
yes.
real tough, and especially after they don't threw the book away.
The book know. And with that new, the 85% time
right.
serving if, you know.
How many people that you have actually working with you, if you don't mind me asking?
Right now, we have two people. We have two contractors that are doing the driving. And hopefully, we have our one-year anniversary coming up, so I'm very excited about that. So thank you. Hopefully, we are able to have at least three more contract drivers to mm-hmm. serve the entire state. Mm-hmm. We're also working on some things to move us into St. Louis mm-hmm. that's also going to happen next month. So we have Family United Kansas City mm-hmm. and Family United St. Louis that will allow us to effectively serve the entire state of Missouri by covering the East and the West.
I see. So when you get your office space, and so once you get your office space, now is this something you're going to be setting up, networking with other organizations and things like that? It's kind of probably what you're doing now.
Yes. When I get that office space, we are going to be so excited, and we'll be out in the community networking and partnering and sponsoring.
Oh, you're going to be on the ball, I know. Give us your information again quickly. We only have about a minute and a half left on this.
Again, if you'd like to contact us, it's 816-533-5622. Email is family, the letters U for United, T for transportation, and S for service at gmail.com. And you can find us on the web at www.familyunitedtransportation.com.
Audrey, thank you for being here this morning, and we have made it a great broadcast.
Thank you.
And thank you. The next broadcast coming up.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following segment comes to us courtesy of CNN and Wolf Blitzer.
People have died in Mexico's drug war, and now shocking details emerging of a new killing that seems to represent the horrifying nature of the conflict. Brian Todd is looking into this for us. What are you seeing, Brian?
Wolf, this was a very grisly case, a clear message from cartel leaders to other local mayors who try to stand up to them, and a symbol of how this drug war, even with some positive signs recently, is far from won. She'd survived two assassination attempts and the killing of her husband. But this time, as her daughter watched, Maria de los Santos Gorostieta could not escape. Dragged away, tortured, stabbed, beaten to death, the mayor of a small town in the Mexican state of Michoacán became the latest high-profile casualty in the drug war. Gorostieta's body was found in a ravine over the weekend. For denouncing traffickers, she became one of more than two dozen mayors in Mexico assassinated in drug-related violence since 2007. One analyst says she also became a symbol of this struggle.
This conflict, this violence, is very gruesome, and it's also mostly felt at the local level, oftentimes in off-the-beaten-path places, in municipalities and small towns.
It's against that backdrop that Mexico's newly elected president, Enrique Peña Nieto, is in Washington to meet with President Obama. Analysts say Peña Nieto is likely to veer at least slightly away from the confrontational and controversial tactics in the drug war favored by his predecessor, Felipe Calderón. Deploying the Mexican Army and Marines as never before, Calderón fought the cartels head-on, took out several kingpins. But during his six-year term, the streets of Juarez, Tijuana, Sinaloa flowed with blood. At least 50,000 Mexicans were killed, many of them innocent civilians. That's far more than the American death tolls in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. Homicide rates in those areas have recently plateaued, and a Mexican official tells us civilians there are telling them they do feel safer now. Tourism is bouncing back. Analysts say President-elect Peña Nieto will continue to confront the cartels, but in a more nuanced way.
With the United States, he's going to ask for more intelligence sharing from the United States. There's been intelligence sharing. It's been in a little more limited way. They would like to see that expanded so that Mexican authorities, police, army, Marines have more information and can go after the bad guys with that intelligence.
Experts say he's also likely to focus on Mexico's own addiction problem, which is growing. Police efficiency, lack of prosecutions, overcrowding of jails have to be addressed. And while Peña Nieto says that the U.S. has to take responsibility for the American demand for illegal drugs, it's just one of the problems north of the border.
Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
Now the calendar for June 3rd, 2013. The monthly meeting of the Criminal Justice Task Force will be today, Monday, June 3rd, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. Tonight's discussion will be about the progress and setbacks of the 2013 Missouri legislative session. School is out, so there is no need for food donations to the backpack program. For more information, call Robin at 816-468-7894. Phoenix Family Housing provides services to youth and their families of many local communities. They are looking for people who are willing to help teach young people to read this summer. If you would like to help, you can contact David Pruitt, Volunteer Coordinator, at 816-561-1033, extension 302, or email volunteer at phoenixfamily.org. Patrick Sumner, site director of the Frank Williams Center, is selling his personal art collection to raise funds for the center's outreach fund. The fund provides homeless people street survival gear and household setup supplies for people that the center helps get housing. His collection includes such artists as April McInerney, Lori Ray Erickson, Marcy Aylward, Thom Rickert, Skip Bailey, and more. The sale will be from 6 p.m. Friday, June 7th, until 4 p.m. Saturday, June 8th, at The Locust Factory, KC. They're at 504 East 18th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. You can find contact information for today's guests, these announcements, and make comments about our programming on the Jaws of Justice radio page at kkfi.org or on our Facebook page.
We hope you enjoy today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not KKFI, the Mid-Coast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. If you have comments or questions, check out our page on the KKFI website, www.kkfi.org. If you want to contact or help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. My name is Keith Brown Eel. We thank our engineer, Mike Murphy, host of the Wednesday Morning Buzz. Listen tomorrow at 9 a.m. for Law and Disorder. Michael Ratner on Jeremy Hammond, Bradley Manning, and Julian Assange, Darius Cheney, on Stop and Frisk Law, and Ray McGovern has doubts about Obama's resolve to do what is right. Then tell somebody at 6 p.m. Tuesday, Tom Clammer will have Mike Cadell, local blogger and internet radio producer. Up next is Counterspin, followed at 10 o'clock by Beauticians Blues with Luscious Lynn. And at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m.